Okay. Good evening. It's always an adrenaline rush to be up here. Let's see. How about we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So, what does that mean? That means, basically, the narrow gate is the pathway that is pretty undesirable. But, at the same time, it's the pathway that will lead us to great things, if we endure it. The wide gate is the easy way. It's the path to destruction. As for me, I usually take the wide gate. It's a lot easier, and knowing me, I don't really like to work hard very much. So that's what I kind of want to talk about today. I want to talk about how change in our lives determines which gate we take. So hopefully, show of hands, who has had change in their life? Please. Okay, good. So, you can all relate. So change is what we have obviously went through in each and every one of our lives. And depending on who we are, we have all dealt with it in different ways. But going back to Matthew, Jesus instructs us to enter through the narrow gate. But the narrow gate is hard. It's unappealing, and it's straining on our worldly lifestyle. I'm talking about community service, holding your tongue, try not to judge others, just things like that, which the complete opposite of those is so easy to do, right? And so when dealing with change, the wide path is definitely kind of the easiest path to take. So for me, I went to school in Texas, and that was definitely a huge change in my life. So there was no hills. It was flat, obviously, desert, at least where I was. East Texas is nice. It's pretty cool. But it was completely different. There was no ocean. There was nothing. It was Texas. So when dealing from what I was going through, in my opinion, I dealt with it in the wrong way. I took the wide path, and it led me to fall away from God throughout the year. And so while trying to get used to like how they worship out there, it's definitely a lot different than how we do it here. I'm not going to go into specifics, but trust me, it's very different. People like it, people don't like it. I was the kind of person who came in there with an open mind, and I was ready for anything, basically. I wasn't saying I want it to be like this and I want it to be like this. I was saying I'm up for anything. I'm ready for what God throws at me. But I wasn't. And so so while trying to get used to how they worship out there, I started to become resentful towards them, and I focused on the wrong things in my mind. The wrong things that they did, rather than focusing on the wrong I'm doing. And it led me to where I wasn't really going to church. I'm pretty sure I didn't go to church for maybe 8 weeks straight. Like, that's crazy to me, because knowing my dad and my mom, I've pretty much been here every week before college, you know. You'd see me here every single week. And missing 8 churches in a row is pretty much unheard of in my family. So that kind of got me thinking about Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So that was kind of what I was going through. I was seeing the quote-unquote wrong things that I saw in these churches. And at the same time, I wasn't paying attention to the plank in my own eye. I wasn't paying attention to the resentfulness I had toward these churches. I wasn't paying attention to how I wasn't going to church every week. And so the wide path was affecting my life in a really negative way, and it definitely does not produce positive results. So there's a lot of, there's a few examples in the Bible where people take the wide path and the narrow path. So for the wide path, let's do Jonah. So Jonah, he took the wide path by running away from God. That was the easiest thing to do, right? Instead of going to Nineveh and giving them what God told him to tell him. Yeah. And so that didn't go very well because he got eaten by a fish. And I haven't gone through that yet, but I'm pretty sure that's not really a good experience to go through. So that's an example of the wide path. That's an example of, like in the Bible, of who took the wide path. And with the narrow path, there was Joseph. Joseph took the narrow path. He endured so much to become what he became. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was seduced by the Pharaoh's wife, right? And he went through so much stuff, and he took the narrow path, and he endured, and he rose out on top. And so my relationship with God seemed to be diminishing as the year went on. And when I finally realized that it was declining, I was already home. It took me that long to realize that I'm in this situation. I didn't realize it while I was there. I didn't realize it on the plane ride home. It was when I got to church the first time when I was back, I was thinking, wow, that's not good. I shouldn't be doing this. So I encourage you to not take the wide path. Take it from me. It's not a good feeling to realize that you've been strutting on the wide path. So for me, the wide path was waking up at 9 o'clock to go to church and going back to sleep and deciding not to go. And I wasn't praying enough. I don't think I prayed before any meals, really. I wasn't really thinking before I spoke. I said stupid things all the time. And I was invited to a lot of devos and stuff like that, and I didn't take advantage of them. I was still resentful toward how the people there did their thing. Okay. So all these things and other things led me away from God and away from what I can be as a Christian. So once again, I beg you to not take the wide path. It's the path of destruction. It's terrible. The wide path led me in a direction of a faithless relationship. And if I didn't come back here to Ventura, I would probably still be in that situation. If for some reason I had to stay back there for the summer, it probably wouldn't be any different. It got me thinking, maybe my personal walk with God was not mature enough to handle these kinds of changes. But if that's the case, my new journey for the future, going to a different school, will be even a tougher one, because I will not be surrounded by the Christian brothers and sisters that I was surrounded by last semester. I won't have a church a block away. I won't have teachers who will literally encourage me to do well, who will meet up on a moment's notice if I need help on anything. I won't have any of that. So it's going to be a really hard time in my life for the future. But I find it as an encouragement, though. I find it as kind of a bounce back for me, because for me, taking the wide path, I obviously want to recover. So I feel like this future coming right now, it'll be a test of my faith. It'll be, I can either go up from here or I can fall all the way down. And it scares me. And it scares me because I can fail, because I'm human. I make mistakes all the time. And as I'm sure all of you make mistakes all the time, you're scared of failing. And I'm scared of failing too. But I have faith that I can be able to keep my faith and stay on the right track. And it's not that I don't want to, I guess, like leave here, because this is the most comfortable place. If it were my way, I would put Abilene Christian University down the street, you know. But there were things that I didn't agree with. There were things that I couldn't handle, and I wasn't prepared for. And it's not that I don't want to leave this area, but there's the uncertainty that I will turn out worse than I was. I feel like I can definitely mess up, and I feel like my faith can be strengthened, though. It can be strengthened more than it can be if I were back there. And to me, it's kind of, in a way, logical, in a way. But like, this is a really short lesson, but what I hope what I've told you has gotten you thinking about what not to do. I stand before you as an example, basically. I know we see a lot of people that come to church that we haven't seen for months or even years. And it's a sad thing to see, honestly. And I'm a very minor example of what those kind of people can be. And I encourage you not to turn out like them. I'm not saying they're bad people or anything, but I encourage you to stick with the narrow path. Don't take any shortcuts. Don't switch over to the wide path. Stick to the path that's hard. Stick to the path that will lead you in the way of God. Stick with God your whole life. And I really hope my example will cause you to think, like, I don't want to be in Asa's situation, because we as Christians, we don't want to fall away from God, right? And we want to be by his side until we die. That's basically like the main goal. And that's one of my main goals too. And so that's what I encourage you tonight. I encourage you to stay on the right path, stay on the narrow path. It says, where is it? I'll read it again. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Go to the narrow gate, let it lead you in the way God wants you to go. And so, if you have any sort of changes in your life, if you have any problems in your life that you're struggling with, we can help you. We have a lot of people here that are like, they live to help, basically. My dad, for example, he lives to help everyone. He's the greatest example that I can think of, honestly. And so if you need any help, I encourage you to come up here as we stand and sing the song.